finding great candidates to hire can be like, well, trying to find a needle in a haystack. Sure, you can post your job to some job board, but then all you can do is hope the right person comes along. Which is why you should try ZipRecruiter for free at ZipRecruiter.com/zip. ZipRecruiter doesn't depend on candidates finding you. It finds them for you. Its powerful technology identifies people with the right experience and actively invites them to apply to your job. You get qualified candidates fast. So while other companies might deliver a lot of hay, ZipRecruiter finds you what you're looking for. The needle in the haystack.
See why 4 out of 5 employers who post a job on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire. And right now, you can try ZipRecruiter for free. That's right, free, at ZipRecruiter.com/zip. That's ZipRecruiter.com/zip. ZipRecruiter.com/zip.
Hey guys, Lance Zierlein here. We're Houston. We're the city of champions. How about I give you another champion? If you suffered an injury in an accident and would like a free case review, call the super team at Daspit Law Firm. They're champions. Free consultations are available 24/7. Dial 713-CALL-NOW. That's 713-CALL-NOW and DaspitLaw.com.
My mom won Ms. Bumble.
It's John and Lance.
When Will Shipley ran in a 4.3, that was our Jesse Owens.
Ain't this some...
Broadcasting live from inside the Mobile Veritex Community Bank Studios, located at Nick's Place. Here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, welcome back. Live at Nick's Place, 2713 Rocky Ridge. Want you to come on by, hang out with us this morning. And it might be a little bit early. Not for these guys, it ain't too early to start. Are you guys going all day? Are you going to watch through the night games tonight?
He just flexed. He said all day.
No, he said he just went, not sure.
Well, about not night games. No, but if you go through the first and second slate of games, that's pretty good.
Yeah.
That's good.
Well, up until it ends at about 5 o'clock.
That's what a real man or real woman or
real person.
Real person.
Just
or
real
non-binary person.
But the Cougs play at 8:20 tonight.
Well, that's why you may want to get home for that one.
You got to pace yourself.
You do.
You do. You do. I mean, you don't want to be passing out.
They're going to beat Linwood or Longwood or whatever. They're going to beat them so bad.
Again.
I know. They're going to beat, and this is going to come back to haunt me if they lose, but they're not losing. Can you imagine the hell that Longwood's about to get into? In the first 5 minutes, they're going to realize there's nothing we could have simulated in practice that would show us
this.
Yeah, no. Nothing.
No, Longwood is... not long for this world.
They'll still be around. They just won't be in this tournament, right?
Why did you?
We're not removing them from the face of the earth.
Okay, let's see how the game goes. They're going to feel like they died after they get 40 minutes of Kelvin Sampson hell. The white kid's coming in.
Hey, do you hear his microphone compared to ours?
Super
because
loud.
Because he's got a his own show now.
It's super loud.
Ever since.
Well, it seems a lot clearer.
Hey, Sean,
he's got a giant filter.
This is the one I use.
Oh, yeah.
Well, this is the one I use when I'm back in studio.
Oh,
I just grabbed the one I use back in studio.
Hey, Sean, what we've noticed since you and Dell now have a show, Dell tries to sabotage our show on a regular basis. They're just little things, making our headphones.
You
want to
make
real
a
loud.
List? You want to make a list of things I've done?
Yeah.
You try to get some trouble with the country?
Did I try or did our socials try? Social team try? I try?
What happens on the show stays on the show.
Yeah, hey. Right?
We don't need to put it out so Turkey can find out.
We're not looking for engagement. Okay?
Yeah. Yeah, listen, despite what you think about us wanting to really branch out, we don't want to branch out
too far.
Too far. People will find out about us.
We need to have people understand. The people who understand the show we love.
Yeah, they're already listening.
Yeah, but the people who just see a clip.
And I don't want to say no new listeners.
Sure.
That's not really welcoming, is it?
But it's disgusting, racist piece of bleep. That's what I saw today for me. So I'm looking for a comfortable... our listeners are comfortable. They understand the show. That's all I'm looking for.
Yeah, that's
really.
We only want people who understand the show.
Yes, because if they don't, it can get ugly, at least for me. Yeah. You two seem to be fine.
No. It wasn't for me. John is the one avoiding all the bullets. He's like, yeah, you called us a weird country. I'm like, no, it's actually John Granato.
I didn't say nothing like
you
that.
Did.
What are you talking about?
And I got
about?
Blamed for that. I got blamed for everything.
What you said was it wasn't really like
look
Europe.
Look at that. John didn't. I said, is this even
it's
really
not really
like
Europe.
Europe?
That's what you said.
Yeah, and then John's like, it's weird country. And they said, oh, yeah, a weird country? And then somehow he didn't respond or even see any of it, so it's like his life is fine.
I don't even care.
I responded.
Yeah. No, you've been fighting a stupid battle that you can't
some
win.
I fought, some I just had
I just ignore
with.
Everything. That's what I do. I mean, that's my life, actually. I try to just ignore everything.
Ignore stuff. So don't ignore the Rockets. So Rockets have won 7 in a row. Rockets are the headline right now, and the second headline is Cougs play tonight. But the Rockets win their 7th in a row. Jalen Green had 26. Kind of a down game for him. He didn't score 40. But Jalen Green, Holiday had a big game. Dylan Brooks had a big game before being ejected. There was a little bit of a dust-up between Dylan Brooks and DeMar DeRozan when DeMar DeRozan knocked his two-guard down. And so he had to go get in DeMar DeRozan's face. There was a little bit of a dust-up. Both guys were ejected. It's just a means of making sure that everything didn't get out of control, because after that, Lonnie got into it just a very brief bit. But this team, now Ime Udoka, his playing style is scrappy. He's the one who called LeBron James soft little boy.
Soft-ass boy.
Soft-ass boy, yeah. Soft-ass boy. On the sideline, that's what he said to LeBron multiple times before he got in trouble. Didn't he get kicked out for that or no?
No, he got thrown out.
Oh, he.
I think so. Or yeah, was it just a technical?
It was a tech. I mean, he actually may have got two techs, but he got in trouble for that. Isn't any wonder then that this is their fourth dust-up in, like, the last 8 games? Not to me. They're starting to take on the – Ime's got to be so proud that this team's starting to get a little feisty. He's got – can you imagine the old Rockets getting feisty? No, they just want to get done with the game.
What, the Steven Silas Rockets?
Yeah, they just want to get done and get on to whatever they were doing next
paint
after the game.
Paint their nails.
The game was a pain in the ass for them. They just wanted to be, ugh, when will this game end so we can get on to what we're doing? Not now. Not with Şengün. Not with Dylan Brooks. Not with and honestly, Jalen has a different attitude about this. Jabari is so happy to be with the team that takes basketball seriously. I mean, he's so happy.
Keep your foot away from the wire, please.
Oh, yeah. Tari Eason, I feel like he'll be.
He's tweeting. He's locked in. He said this ain't the old Rockets. I think after the Dylan Brooks dust up with DeMar DeRozan, he mentioned, hey, this ain't who you think we're not who you think we are. We're not that team anymore.
We're not that guy, buddy.
Yeah.
So if you had 4 core players, who are your 4 core players for the Rockets, Sean? I had this conversation with one of my new friends from Turkey when we started talking basketball. Who are your 4 core players?
Well, wow. You mean long term?
What I'm saying is, who are your 4 core players? You can interpret it any way you want.
Okay.
I think you're going to come to the same conclusion I have.
Right now, your 4 core
four
players.
4 core players.
Alpi, Jalen, Tari, Amen.
Ding, same as me.
Yeah.
I think that's the only – well, wait a minute. Alpi, Jalen, yes. Yes, yes, but I left Jalen out just because – so mine was kind of projecting forward – although, yes, Jalen is the right answer, but I put in Jabari. You said Jabari, right?
I said Tari.
Oh, you said Tari, yeah. I had Jabari, Tari, Alpi, and Amen. I had those 4 because I think there is a chance Jalen Green could be moved. But right now, for sure, he is. And even though Tari's not going to play anymore, he's, you know, obviously a core player without question. I think there is a chance that Jalen gets moved just – to make more space for Cam Whitmore. It just may be, and honestly, it may be in Jalen's best interest not to, and this is not to disparage Alperen or Jalen, it may be in his best interest to have the ball in his hands and be able to make moves. And I don't know that that's what the Rockets, now, I think you can do both. I think you can have that version of Jalen, especially if he's efficient, and have Alperen Şengün. And I'm wondering now if Ime Udoka is going to come around on Jalen Green as a guy that he wants as his 2-guard of the future.
Well, we don't know that he ever didn't want him.
I know.
But no.
I know, but it just feels like.
Well.
Do you think some of those lessons he taught where you're going to sit on the bench in the fourth quarter for a variety of players?
I think it was a lesson.
I think those are good lessons.
They are good lessons.
Always.
He's done it with Jabari. He's done it with.
It's a process.
Yeah.
You got to let the process
go. He's done it with Alpi. He's done it with all of them, as a matter of fact. They've all had to sit on the bench in the fourth quarter and watch because they, you know, if you weren't doing what you're supposed to do. And it's a great lesson as opposed to Steven Silas who just got. Okay, whatever. Just go back out there. No. You got to learn a lesson here, and maybe you'll be better for it. I mean, I love the way. And listen, it's coming together right now. It's. I don't get it. I don't get how you are playing your best basketball of the year, and Alpi's not there, your best player. Tari's not there, your best player. Cam Whitmore's not there, and he's one of your best players. It's amazing
how this team is coming together right now. And then well, you add those guys whenever they get here, or I don't know. This is going to be a very interesting offseason for this organization.
A lot of times chemistry matters, and when you reduce the number of guys who affect the rotation and guys know the role they're going to be playing from night to night, because of the injuries, Ime can't really turn to another guy and go, well, if you have a rough night, you're not going to play. I'm going to go to this guy.
Right.
These guys know they're going to play. And sometimes that helps, too. You see it in the NBA quite a bit where a team will lose a couple guys and they'll go beat a team they're not supposed to beat just because of the roles that they're in, that they're solidified in for, and they know. They don't have to worry. I don't know how long it'll last, but it's lasted long enough to keep them into playing meaningful games and likely into April, which is, I think, all we could have hoped for when the season started.
Oh, they're exceeding. Now, this run that they're on right now.
Yeah, it's crazy.
And hitting the over on the under-over 31.5.
I thought we were just talking about the team playing well. We talked about your accomplishments?
No, he didn't play that. He's too afraid of them. But J.B. Bickerstaff, you're the reason why J.B. Bickerstaff says gamblers are coming after him, because you're talking about the over-under. There's a reason that...
No, I'm talking about exceeding expectations. They've exceeded.
Well, you're using the over/under as the expectation.
Well, that is that's
in a way.
Vegas knows.
But did they exceed your expectations?
Yes, they've exceeded my expectations.
Did you think
they? No, they are on en route to exceed my expectations.
What were your expectations
30,
for this year?
38-39.
Okay,
I thought 30. Yeah, that's about what I thought. I thought they would compete for a play-in spot.
Yeah, right now they're 34-35. The 2.5 games back of the Warriors, 3 in the loss column. They do have a game against the Warriors coming up, so
they can gain
a game.
You know, for a while they had slid off the pace of being the Texans. They're back on the pace of being that young team that's playing well.
Yeah.
Like they're back on kind of Texans pace.
They are. They really are.
And they got a real chance to be over 500. And they were one of the most embarrassing organizations over the last 2 or 3 years. The same way the Texans were, and now you feel totally different about the Texans. I feel totally different about the Rockets. It's just amazing how these two organizations continue to parallel each other. But I think, it's the head coaches. It's Udoka. I mean, I got to give ownership some credit also for bringing those coaches in, because now D'Amico to me was an easy hire. Now getting rid of Lovey, doing a second, and you're going to take heat for getting rid of two black coaches back to back years. But on 1 year deals, because it's not a good look.
No,
I mean, it's a really bad look.
So that helps.
But you hired D'Amico, and no one in Houston cared. Nationally, some people said stuff, but we had D'Amico back. Are you kidding me? That was the number one guy you could have got. And D'Amico, name somebody who wasn't happy about Udoka as the head coach.
Everybody.
Now, I don't know exactly what happened with him to get him cast off from the Celtics, but you were happy about Udoka.
Oh, absolutely.
I was thrilled with Udoka.
I thought it was the best hire of the offseason.
Yeah, they killed it.
And they're proving it. All right, 713-780-3. I'm happy about Chastain Fort, too. Nothing has changed there. Love Chastain Fort. Every morning I get up and I get into my F-150, and I love my F-150. I love it. I don't know what you're driving, but they've got still trucks, 2023 trucks out there, F-150, 250, 350, whatever. They've got them out there on the lot of Chastain Fort, and they got to get rid of them. This month, they are doing everything possible. What do you want? How about up to $12,000 off? Okay, on all 2020. How about 1.9% financing? Okay, what do you want? If you've got a business and you need some trucks, this is the place to go, because you're not going to get it. This is the place where you're getting your deal on. Okay, other places are still going to try to add on and mark up, and they're going to try to get as much as they possibly can. They've got them on the lot ready for you right now. They got to get rid of them. They got to get rid of the 2023 Bronco Sports as well. 0% financing there. What do you want? Because Chastain Ford is going to do it for you. They're going to work that deal so that they can get you into that car truck, but that you're not choking on the payments. They don't want that. They're going to get at you at the best price they can possibly do it, with the best financing they can possibly do. All at ChastainFord.com on 610 at Homestead, not Hempstead. It's just 5 minutes from downtown. Or you can do it all online at ChastainFord.com.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5.
We're taking a break.
Okay. That's cool.
Way more. You're back to John and Lance
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Live from the Mobile Veritex Community Bank Studios, located at Nick's Place.
All right, last night's big story was Kentucky losing in the NCAA tournament. And Jack Golfe was the big story. Lance, let me ask you a question. How many, I'm on Oakland's website, his statistics. How many three-pointers did he attempt, and how many two-pointers did he attempt?
Are you talking about for yesterday or for
I'm going to tell you this.
For the season?
All season long, his total, 254 field goal attempts. How many of those were two-pointers?
I'm going to say
254 field goal attempts all season long.
All right, I'm going to say 75.
75 two-pointer field goals, less.
Oh, man. 60.
Huh?
60.
Less.
Ooh, we're under 25%. Okay.
254 field goal attempts.
50.
Less.
40.
Less.
Less. He didn't get a layup. Somebody didn't chase him off
less.
The three. How many games did
single
they play?
Single digits.
No, that's not true.
Six. The number is six.
What? He only shot six 2 points?
Six 2 points.
Six attempts?
600. Yeah,
this
six
can't
attempts.
Be true.
248 3-point attempts, 254 total field goal attempts. Six 2-pointers.
Oh, my God.
Six.
I've never heard of that in my entire
and
life.
And he shot.
Let me see his game. Is this his game log?
His game log.
And everything is a three?
Everything's a three.
Oh, my God. Everything's a three.
Everything's a three.
What happened? Oh, there's one. I wonder what happened in that game against Marshall where he took and made a two.
I'm sure his foot was on the
Here's
line.
Two against Marshall. Two. Yeah, maybe his foot was on the line.
Oh, my God. You know foot on the line is probably two of them?
Probably half.
Wayne, he had two pointers.
That is insane. I'm going to steal that and tweet and go viral.
Six all year. That's crazy. 254 attempts.
Daryl Morey would love him.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, man.
So
no, he wouldn't. He can shoot well.
Oh, he's not Corey
Brewer. Daryl likes guys that shoot a lot.
So I'm looking at
shoot a lot of threes. They don't have to shoot well. As a matter of fact, he'd prefer a 6'7" power forward and maybe a guy like Corey Brewer who, you know, shoots a lot but doesn't shoot straight.
So I'm looking at I'm looking at a projected 2024 NBA draft, and
Golkey's not in the top 60.
How many? Do you know how many points a game he averaged this year? 12.8. This is
how
the guy.
How many shots
who's a
star. Does he get up?
I mean,
per
guy,
game.
Well, he shot 39% from three.
But how many shots does he get up overall? If he's shooting nearly 40%, he should get more shots.
38% from the field. This guy must be like one of six on two-pointers.
Okay, we got to watch. Keep an eye on Dalton Connect from Tennessee because that is where the Rockets are projected to take in a few different mock drafts that I've
looked at. I like Tennessee. Tennessee's going to be.
Well, I would. What about Reed Shepard?
So the big story on that one was Reed Shepard collapsed yesterday because the moment was too big for the rookie of the year. He was the freshman of the year, shoots 50% from three, and he was a nothing. Couldn't get shots off, looked completely overmatched. Wasn't in during a big stretch of the game. In the middle of the second half, he wasn't even in for a stretch of the game, then came in and was really a non-factor, was a big reason why they lost the game, if you really want to know
the truth. I'm not going to hold that one game against him.
No.
But that dude's a shooter. And what the Rockets have to have, I believe, is a guy who can fill it up from outside. You're going to play this three-point game. Get somebody who can shoot. My goodness. Get a guy who can fill it up.
Who would he play over in this current iteration of the Rockets? Who would he take time from?
If he comes off the bench and
there are guys off the bench who, like Cam Whitmore, is Tari starting? I'm just asking, in this rotation, if your top, let's say, five backcourt players, would Reed Shepard play next year?
Well, no. At what position?
No, he wouldn't.
Wait a minute. At what position would Reed Shepard play? Would anybody play then?
This is why I think Jalen's got to go. Because you have
you think he's one of your stars, he doesn't go.
But if he has
it's not just Reed Shepard. It's where is anybody going to play on this team that's so talented exactly. they might finish 500.
No. And the problem is you've just got a bunch of guys that can play now. So you at your one, your two, and your three, I would tell you this. Yeah, you're playing Jabari at your four. Steven Adams is going to play next year. Is he going to start? I don't know. I mean, I don't think there's room for him to start. He can't start.
No, he's coming off the bench.
He'll have to come off the bench. But they're going to play some double bigs.
He'll have
bigs
a bigger role
time.
Than Landale did, though.
Yeah, they're going to play some double bigs from time to time, though, against certain matchups. But you've got, let's just say, okay, in the front court, Dylan Brooks, Jabari are going to play. But Tari, when he gets back, is going to play. There's three sharing minutes at three different positions. And I haven't even mentioned Steven Adams yet, because –
Well,
have to play
five
some
guys
four and
for
some
those
five.
Two positions.
So there's five guys for, well, for three, four,
three,
five.
Three, yeah, right.
Five guys for 3-4-5. Then you've got Cam Whitmore, Amen Thompson, Fred VanVleet, Jalen Green. Just four guys for two positions. That's frankly enough. Four guys for two positions. Where's Holiday going to play next year if he's even with the team? Where's anybody going to play?
That's right. Well, that's a good problem.
Because these guys can all play.
Right. But if you get rid of Jalen Green, somebody takes his place. So... I mean, so the trade is going to be for somebody that's going to take his place.
You ain't
getting rid of him for a guy for a draft pick in the future. You're getting rid of Jalen Green for somebody who can play right now.
Yeah, and the only reason, unless you think it's Cam, but I don't know. I think they want to see how Cam handles being a pro for a couple of years. But I think that the problem I have is that Jalen Green staying with the Rockets is great. My concern is always, can you pay both of those guys? Can you pay Alpi and pay Jalen? Now, I will say, once you pay Jalen, I do think he's tradable with the contract. It's not like he's not tradable. He's tradable. You can trade salaries in the NBA. It's not the end of the world. So that's why I'm starting to think it's more likely that Jalen is back, because even though he would bring you maybe a draft pick and a player, I don't think they need players right now. I don't think it's a matter of getting more depth or anything like that. I think it's really a matter of fine-tuning the right pieces moving forward for the Rockets. And if you think Jalen is that guy, then you sign both him and Alpi to, I don't know if you're giving a max dollar deal to Jalen, but he's starting to knock on that door. He's starting to bang on the door the way he's playing. And if you do that.
I don't even know how we could talk about getting rid of Jalen Green the way he's playing right now.
It's hard. It's hard. Well, the $20 million a year for the next 3 years for Dylan is something that really gums up. And I like Dylan Brooks, but it's 3 years. We're not talking Fred VanVleet short-term contract. So you would have a center, a two guard, and a three who are all making $20+ million. Two of them would be in the $30 million range. One guy, 20. You're running out of money. Like, you don't have much maneuverability after that. But you also could deal anybody at any time, because all these guys now have value as opposed to the other.
I mean, if
crumb bum lineup you used to.
If you're watching this team down the stretch and you see how Amen Thompson has to play, Jabari has to play, the likely guy who gets traded would be Dylan Brooks. I mean, sure, he's a glue guy. They like what he brings. But if we're talking about being a potential progress stopper to your young lineup, it would be him, because Fred VanVleet's role is to direct and get these guys on track in certain situations. Dylan Brooks is a tough guy, yeah. And they love him, but if Amen has to play more and Jabari, and when Shingun comes back, he would be the odd man out.
Well, yeah, I think despite the long-term contract, he's given you a toughness, right? I mean, Dylan Brooks has given you an attitude.
Yeah.
That we see it's overflowing into the games, maybe a little bit too much lately, but it is an attitude that they haven't had before. We got to break it. We got some breaking news for Astros. Yet another pitcher down.
No, we're not doing that the next segment. Nope.
Yep.
I don't want to know who it is, and I don't care.
We'll tell you
we're
on
not
the other side, but right now we got Craig DeSerf.
Craig DeSerf. I'll talk about this. Oh, you mean good news. Talk about nice things, not people getting hurt and not pitching. We're talking about guys who are actually out there every single day in Angleton doing their thing, and that's Craig DeSerf and the good people over at Gulf Coast Chevy Buick GMC. It's a great job that they do with making sure that you get taken care of with buying a car. And it, maybe through finance rates, your APR rates, the rates are, you know, when you hear 0.9, 1.9% financing, I know there was a time about 5 years ago where all the finance rates were very, very low. The economy was lower. And now with everything booming, those finance rates have gone back up. And so you're getting 6.9 is not unusual to see as a standard rate. So when you get 0.9 or 1.9 and you're looking to purchase a brand-new Chevy Silverado pickup truck or a GMC Sierra pickup truck or the Buick Envision, this is a great opportunity for you to really save money with great finance rates when they're available. They're not going to be available for all vehicles, so you need to ask dealer for complete details. But lease or purchase, they've got you covered with great vehicles. They'll get the type of vehicle you want with the interior, the exterior. If they don't have it, they'll order it, they'll bring it in, and you will be on your way with a brand new vehicle from a company that only knows customer satisfaction and never hustles and hassles you when it's time to buy the car. It's Gulf Coast Chevy Buick GMC, a trustworthy car dealership that is just like family to me, and they'll be family to you as well. It's LanceZCars.com. That's LanceZCars.com.
ESPN 97.5. John and Lance
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Broadcasting live from the Mobile Veritex Community Bank Studios located at Nick's Place.
So yet another, and it's elbow, 3 to 4 months out.
Who? Your kitty?
Oliver Ortega.
Oh, what?
God almighty, he got me. Bait and switched me.
Oliver Ortega.
He headline baited me like Yard Barker.
Oliver Ortega.
Oh, thank God Oliver's hurt badly instead of a good pitcher.
What are you talking about? Oliver Ortega.
I thought you were going to tell me Urquidy.
Picked him up off waivers from the Twins, one of the great pitching organizations.
I thought you were going to tell me it was Christian Javier or something. Oh, my gosh.
No, Oliver Ortega.
Oh, I can breathe again.
Mr. and Mrs. Ortega now are like distraught because their kid
won't
be pitching.
Don't care about the Ortegas.
And you're like, oh,
I care about Urquidy's family, Christian Javier's family. I don't care about Ortega's family.
Justin Verlander threw and
care about the Verlander family.
He did throw well. He was throwing. So
I care about the McCullers family, the Garcia family, the Brown family.
Really?
Yep.
When was the last time you saw the McCullers family at a game cheering their son on? You didn't.
Okay.
Because he hasn't been there in a while.
I don't know.
Okay.
He opens coffee places.
No, Justin Verlander actually was throwing and throwing well, and everything is proceeding along nicely. But Oliver Ortega done 3 to 4 months. So there's the news.
When are you going to make the team, I would imagine?
Do what now? Why are you going to be ugly to the Ortegas? I mean, that's terrible.
I'm sure they're happy their son will be at home more. Mom can cook him home-cooked meals.
No.
He can get some rest. I'm sure she hadn't seen her boy in a little
cook?
Bit. I don't know. Whatever
Ortega.
Their Ortegas eat.
Ortega tacos?
I don't. That's your assumption. Maybe
well,
she's.
Well, Ortega tacos are a thing.
Maybe she's big in the meatloaf. I don't know. But the young boy will be home, and they can take care of him. And thankfully.
He's a grown man.
How old is he?
He's old enough to be called a man, not a grown boy. Okay.
Man, young, how about young
disrespectful.
Man?
Disrespectful.
What's his name again? Oliver?
Yeah, Oliver Ortega.
And he.
No one knows how old he is.
Well,
they picked him up from the Twins organization, and he got an elbow. He came over here and caught an elbow. You know, he caught it from one of the other pitchers.
He's 27.
There you go. It's a grown man. Grown man.
Well, I'm sure the family will love to have Oliver around more.
You don't know that. What kind of, you don't know.
Maybe he's an awful person.
A good guy.
I don't know.
Awful.
I don't know.
We don't know. 713-780-3776, the number. We never even talked about. What did you hear from the Caleb Williams? Anything that came out of there? Or
no.
I mean, it's just.
I wasn't really digging around on it because you know why? It's a foregone conclusion. What do I care? You know, I know that the Bears think highly of his personality. They think highly of his. Or they believe in his leadership with teammates, all the other stuff. They said they, you know, you'd like for him to handle post-game news conferences better, but they think that's a learning experience for him and that's not something to hold against a young player. They're all in. I mean, whether they believe everything or they talk themselves into it, I mean, they're all in. They're going to go Caleb. So I didn't even watch or even care about the pro day workout, to be honest with you. I was interested in what Taj Washington was going to run, the wide receiver. There were things that I looked for, but Caleb Williams' workout was not one of them because it's a foregone conclusion. So I don't care. His issues, I will say it's funny. The people who actually watch tape, it's funny to see them Like Robert Mays from The Athletic got through it, and it's nobody comes out like, oh, my God, what an unbelievable – it's impossible if you're being honest because there's a bunch of messy-ass stuff on his tape, on Caleb's tape. There's just no way to get around it. But then you have to kind of deconstruct it and say, okay, why was it okay? He didn't – his wide receivers didn't really separate. Like, I'm not really a – Jerry Rice's kid, Brendan Rice, I'm not really a – I think he's okay. To me, he's more of like a fifth-round wide receiver. Taj Washington was better than him, in my opinion, and may get drafted higher. But I don't know. For some reason, like, wide receivers didn't get open. He just did a lot of Johnny Manziel waiting to make the biggest thing happen. Like, oh, look, here's an easy throw. Eh. It's 3rd and 8. I'm not going to throw a 6-yard pass. Yeah, but then he could catch it
and run
for a first down. Let me look for 12. Let me look for 12 or 14 yards. That kind of stuff, you know, it bothers me because we saw that with Deshaun Watson, and it's hard to get out of your system. Now, there was a time – it's easy for people to rewrite. Remember when Deshaun started getting rid of the ball quicker? He was in rhythm a little bit better. He actually did some of that.
As opposed to when he got to the Ravens game and he held on to
yeah.
it.
Yeah, and all, out of nowhere, we're like, dude, what?
What are you doing?
Yeah, and the Ravens made him. That's right. And when he helped, when he worked in rhythm, he was really a different passing quarterback. Ben Roethlisberger is one of the only quarterbacks I've seen who was a chronic play extender who Todd Haley got him on track and made him throw quickly. And to the detriment of their relationship, because Ben was kind of a baby back then, and Haley is just belligerent. But he ended up getting the best out of Ben Roethlisberger because he forced him to get rid of it and read in rhythm. That's my problem with I think Caleb sees it and just tries to play hero ball, which is kind of understandable. He's got a terrible defense, has to score 50 a game. You got Drake May, who doesn't see it as well. And then you got Daniels, you know, the best tape in college football is Bo Nix and Jaden Daniels. But Jaden, I think, is going to go to Bo Nix. I think may end up going behind Penix. But it's going to be – Daniel Jeremiah had 1, 2, 3, 4 quarterbacks. I think that's – this will be the first time in the history of football that it goes 1, 2, 3, 4 quarterbacks.
Apparently the Cardinals are getting a lot of calls right now about number 4. And it wouldn't surprise at all if a team like the Vikings didn't move up.
But are you willing to trade back if you're them? I think so. If you tell yourself you need a tackle – because all you got to do
is – a lot.
Yeah, exactly. If you need a lot, you got tackle, receiver – and you got tackle, receiver, and pass rusher, three huge priority positions. Why would you not deal back?
If they love J.J. McCarthy, you can get a package somewhat like the Bears got for the Young trade. I mean, you're going to get another first-rounder next year. You could possibly mix in a second or third, or maybe even a second and a third to get up to number 4 if they love J.J. McCarthy. We'll see what that – if you know what? If I'm them, for sure I'd make a trade. I want those players. Do you agree with Mel Kiper here? So he says that Drake May has to sit his first year. Drake May has had accuracy issues, and his long delivery are two reasons why Mel Kiper said he is going to be the third among the quarterbacks drafted. He says this: he has a longer delivery than people prefer because that gives NFL corners a chance to break on the ball. Remember, Aaron Rodgers changed his delivery when he went from Cal to the Green Bay Packers, but they had time to do that. You're not going to be able to fix Drake May's long delivery. Do you agree that it's too long, that Drake May is going to have a problem in the NFL?
Could. I mentioned I'm looking at weaknesses here, what I had on him, and I said struggles with chess match against pressure looks, inefficient throwing motion creates inconsistencies in accuracy, leaves the ball behind crossing routes, can get uncomfortable when the initial reads aren't clear and clean. 16 career interceptions, mostly earned with poor decisions or throws. I had a personnel director in the AFC say really scary for me because there's such a gap between ceiling and floor. He's big and mobile and can sling it around, but he didn't play consistent football this year. I thought his processing was a problem. But it was hard to tell sometimes because of how his line played in front of him. Honestly, I said the combination of traits and tape make him a boom-bust prospect who may need a good situation and patient management coaching to help shepherd him towards his potential. Yeah, I think he needs a sit, 100%.
Needs a sit.
Yeah, I think you throw him in too early to a bad spot. Okay,
but the Patriots aren't in that position.
Let's say it's Patriots. Patriots aren't in a position to help him right away.
No. No, they're not in a position to play him right away either. I mean, to sit him right away.
Why not? Let Jacoby Brissett. Yeah, Elliott's in his first year. They're rebuilding after – this is a
perfect
spot.
And the coach is in his first year.
Yeah, this is a perfect spot. There's never going to be a better spot than a total rebuild year one.
Yeah, that's true.
So I would – if I'm – and Elliott Wolf is a very pragmatic guy where he builds slowly. He had – Remember, they got Ron, they got Brett Favre. They had Aaron. He was there with Aaron Rodgers. He was there. Well, I think he was. No, Elliott may have been at Miami. He was a student at Miami. Oh. I don't know if he was there.
Well, Ron Wolf was there for sure.
Well, Ron Wolf was the GM. I'm trying to remember if Elliott was old enough to be there. I think he was.
When they drafted him or when he was there?
Yeah, when they drafted him. But while he was – but his dad did it, yeah. Ron Wolf. So, yeah, he was there for Aaron Rodgers. He knows. He's seen it before.
Yeah.
So he's like, I don't think he's going to panic and hesitate.
I'm hesitating to put Drake May in the same conversation.
I didn't call him Rodgers, but he's seen the benefits of keeping a quarterback on the bench for a year. Listen.
Yeah, but he had Brett Favre in front of him.
Two of the greatest quarterbacks ever to play. Well, he's got Jacoby Brissett in front of him.
Thank you.
Okay. Two of the greatest quarterbacks ever to play. Pat Mahomes and Aaron Rodgers both sat a year. Well, actually, Aaron Rodgers sat 2.5 years.
Three.
Was it three? Well, yeah. I say 2.5. He got in. I remember the Cowboy game where Aaron Rodgers got in. Was it 3 years that he had to wait?
Three and a half.
No, it wasn't 3.5. It was. I think it was three. He got in year three. I remember the Cowboy game was the first one I saw. Because I had him as my number one player in that draft. And then somebody on a Cougar fan board said, this shows why Lance is a bleeping idiot.
Well, there are other reasons.
I never forgot that.
Yeah, other reasons for that.
I never forgot that.
He played in two games. It's third year in the league.
Yeah.
So he sat 3 years.
Yeah, no, that's what I said. But then you said
three and a half. He sat three years.
I know. And then I said he played in his third year. But then you said 3.5, and he played. He was a starter the fourth year. He did not sit 3.5. He played, yeah. He started playing similar to Jordan Love. I guess Jordan Love, it was third year for Love or fourth. This is Jordan Love's fourth year.
He just finished his fourth year.
Yeah. It's Jordan Love's fourth year. The COVID year is when he was drafted.
Because they had to give him commit to him before the season.
I mean, him and Aaron Rodgers, their tracks are so unbelievably similar.
And
it's been beneficial for Love, too.
Right. All right, time for you to talk about John Daspit. What up, John Daspit?
Let's talk about John Daspit and the Daspit Law Firm, man. What a great opportunity for you if you or a family member or somebody you know has been injured at the workplace or on the roadway, you know, due to someone else's negligence, another company's negligence, your business's, you know, the where you work, their negligence, something that has caused an injury for you, a bad injury, something where you had to go to the doctor for, or the hospital, or maybe you haven't gone yet, but you're in a lot of pain. John Daspit will take care of everything for you. His law firm that runs 70 deep work across 10 cities here in the city of Houston, here in the state of Texas. And they're great because what they do is their entire goal is to make sure that you get taken care of, that no money comes out of your pocket, that this is something you didn't ask to happen to you. So they want to make sure that you're compensated for your pain and suffering, for all your medical bills, for anything having to do with your surgery or physical therapy. Make sure that your time missed from work is compensated for as well. This should not come out of your pocket. You should be taken care of when this injury was not your fault. And the personal injury lawyers there are going to do their job. There's a lot of clowns in that business. I can promise you that. You can see it on TV. You can hear it on some of the radio commercials. John Daspit's a serious man who has a serious goal of taking care of his clients just like their family members, and he does just that. 713-CALL-NOW. That's 713-CALL-NOW, or go to DaspitLaw.com.
ESPN 97.5. I assume you knew. You're listening to John and Lance, broadcasting live from inside the Mobile Baratex Community Bank Studios, located at Nick's Place. Here's John Granato and Lance Zerline.
All right, welcome back to Nick's Place, 2713 Rocky Ridge, Rocky Ridge and Westheimer. TJ has been on hold. Let's get him in here. Hey, TJ, what's going on?
Hey, what's going on, guys?
How we doing, TJ?
Hey, I got a quick question. I get you guys coming on the J.B. Bickerstaff about the bettors getting the whole of his number or information and contacting him and threatening him about his family. I don't know if you guys heard about that.
Yeah. Where are you?
I'm at
TJ,
work.
You're at work? What is that? Are you in?
Probably a forklift.
It sounds like you're in the bathroom at Psycho.
Nice.
Yeah.
Forklift.
Okay.
Yeah, it's a crane. It's lifting up a beam.
Tell people to stop backing up.
No, it's okay. A crane. It's lifting up a beam.
Answer that man's question. Did you hear about J.B. Bickerstaff being threatened?
I did. Yeah. We talked about it yesterday.
Yeah. Yeah. He may not have heard, obviously.
Well, then that's on him.
Wait, you can't.
We're not listening to
TJ,
second.
I want you to listen.
We'll revisit it, TJ.
You're listening during your work. We appreciate it. Some of us appreciate you as a listener.
But John doesn't.
Others do not. But, yeah, we heard about it. We heard about it, and he said that he was threatened. Now, you know, anybody can say anything on social media, but it's
No, they said they got his phone number and called him.
The phone number?
Yeah.
Got his phone number and called
him. They were calling him home and threatening his kids.
That's really disconcerting.
Yeah.
So, yeah. What were you going to say about it?
TJ, is he still? No, he's done. He's gone.
No, he's here.
No, he's
here.
Oh, there he is. What's up, TJ? What were you going to say about it?
Oh, no, I was just what the NFL protocol is. If they're getting that serious, they're looking at the players betting on games, what about getting the hold of the refs and threatening them and telling them, like, hey, if you don't do this, you know, something might happen. I never say it's going to happen, but the refs could be on the payroll, too, and with Rudy Gobert doing the money sign about the refs.
Well, you've seen it before in the NBA with you know, and that's the thing is we've seen it before, but now there are things like prop bets where let's say a player is supposed to score a certain amount of points. I mean, you can call fouls a lot to get a player to a free throw line potential. I'm just giving you an example. I don't think you should just assume. I've been a very
there's a limited amount of money that you can put on those bets.
No, I know, but I think that with, you know, you don't have to. There's a limited amount with prop bets. Prop bets more so are tougher to find, but it really doesn't take. It just takes somebody who needs to get out of a hole to do something, and or somebody who wants to make money. More importantly, if you've got somebody who's betting under another name, they don't have to do it for anyone else. They can do it for themselves. I'm just giving you an example. A referee, for example, he could get $5,000 on something. It may not seem a lot, like a lot to a lot of gamblers, or maybe you think $5,000 is not a lot. Be a lot. You make $5,000 a night. I don't know about you. I'm real happy about that. And if he's working through somebody else and making plays on, you know, and he's got an individual book he can work with, I do think officials have to be scanned hard. I do think with the proliferation of gambling, it is a concern that, and this is why it's such a big deal about Ohtani. You don't ever want players gambling, especially on their own sport, because they can share inside information. The NFL says, inside information is passed from team to team. A team can tell another player. One player on a team can tell another player, dude, this guy's not even practicing. Or we're going to be our game plan, he's probably going to get 12 catches. Like, we're going to him all game long. That's all you have to tell another player on a team. And another player could pass that along, and they can, you know, they can be making bets like that. So with prop bets, I think it's even more under consideration. That's why they don't want players gambling. And this Ohtani stuff, you didn't bring up Ohtani, but I will. It turns out that the bookmaker had been bragging to people that Ohtani was one of his clients. If the NFL, Major League Baseball does not follow up on this, well, I don't know what, Congress step out? I don't know. I don't really have an answer. If they don't follow up on this, I'm going to be really mad. Like, no one cares, I guess, but does the country care, do you think, or should the country care? It feels like country doesn't care about anything anymore.
No.
Gambling doesn't matter. Peds don't matter. Nothing matters.
No, I don't.
Except, well.
That's the only thing that matters is banging on a trash can.
That is.
Well, your
that
favorite
makes people. I am shaking with anger right now, knowing that the Astros.
They were egregious. We heard it. The most egregious cheating we've ever seen.
Yeah.
Is a $4.5 million gambling debt
that's
egregious?
That's not cheating. We're just having fun. We're just having fun, Lance. That's not cheating.
With an illegal bookmaker, it's actually illegal.
Oh, ESPN can make money, but Shohei can't? Okay.
He is.
Okay.
Eventually.
You're anti-Asian.
He will
now.
Make money. He will make money in 10 years.
Okay.
No, you can't illegally gamble. That's right.
Respond to the accusation that you're anti-Asian.
Okay, I'll respond. Ladies and gentlemen, this is the chronic rule breaker who runs through red lights because he said the rules don't respond. So, of course, he thinks gambling with an illegal bookmaker is perfectly fine, ladies and gentlemen.
But what about the allegation that you're anti-Asian?
Of course not. You know why? If you looked at my search history, you would know.
What does that mean? What sites are you searching?
He's pro-Asian.
What am I doing right now?
You're dabbing.
That's
I'm not
right.
I'm not sure what
bang,
that has to do with
bang,
anything.
Bang, bang.
Okay, can I look at your laptop?
It's just a funny joke. Absolutely. Yeah, you can look at this one. This is an NFL laptop.
No, I don't
it's
want that
boring.
One. That
this
one
is boring.
That one is boring.
There
I don't want
go.
That one.
You can't touch my phone, though.
Why are you hiding it? He
phone.
Just put it in.
I put it underneath my.
Yeah,
he put it under a shortwood.
My special place.
Oh.
My shortwood.
Speaking of longwood,
well, I mean,
tonight, Cougs, 8:20. 8:20 tonight, they get there. Okay, when we come back, let's actually, I mean, we got the number one seed, number two overall.
And according to Seth Greenberg, they're going to be the first one out of the tournament.
They're going to be the first number
well,
one seed?
That's what
when
he said.
When we come back, you can.
I didn't
John
hear it, but that's
oh
what
my
he said.
Gosh. That I love that. You know why I love that? Because Kelvin Sampson's going to put that up there. You want to talk about a team?
It was a
that
graphic.
You put a chip on their shoulder?
He was up on, I guess, First Take, and the graphic right under him was
oh, I love that.
Houston,
that
first seed out. And he was complimenting A&M, said they could be a bracket buster, so I
oh,
guess he
I,
thinks
I
they're
think
losing A&M.
I think it's a very dangerous game. I think the A&M game is a very
except,
dangerous game
except
for the Cougs.
Except this. The SEC blows in basketball.
Yeah, so when I got to my bracket and I had that game, I'm like, ooh, man, this could be an upset. Then I said, you know what? You know what they usually do when they face a tough team? They out-tough them. Like, yeah. They've done it to, of course.
Well, they did it earlier this year to A&M.
Yeah, but you know what was interesting? Cougs got, I mean, they got beat by Miami last year, who I thought they would out-tough, but Miami was pretty tough last year. But, yeah, they did beat them earlier.
You know what? A&M went on a run in the SEC tournament. You know why? Because the SEC blows. You know who doesn't blow? HRP. Okay? It's great. HRP. That's the, Chris.
Is that, how, is that,
was
the lead
segue.
In? Is that the lead in he wants?
Okay.
It's as good as you can hope for John. You that, don't blow is as good as you can hope for John.
HRP. You know what they do? They do a great job. I love HRP. It's so easy. You go to the website, anything, your employees have all the answers from HRP. They're not going to be bothering you. Laura Beavers loves HRP. If you need some kind of a reference, call her up at the station and let her tell you exactly what HRP does for us. We've got basically a one-person payroll and HR department, Laura. That's it. And we got, I don't know how many employees we got, but HRP takes care of all of our needs. HRP will take care of yours as well. It doesn't cost you anything for them to come and evaluate your business and let them know. Chris told me one time, he was looking at a company that had like 35 employees and said he could save them $150,000 a year. You know what that means to a company that just has 35 employees? $150,000 a year? That's a lot, bro. Well, look at your bottom line. If you're not completely satisfied with your payroll company or you're trying to do it yourself, you don't know what you're doing. They know what they're doing. It's their business. Payroll and HR. HRP.net, 281-880-6525 or HRP.net.
ESPN 97.5.